You are listening to the Police Resilience Podcast, a podcast from the International Association of Chiefs of Police and the Department of Psychiatry at Columbia University, where you'll hear from law enforcement leaders sharing wisdom, insight, and perspective. This episode is funded by the U.S. Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Assistance through the Valor Officer Safety and Wellness Initiative. The department's full disclaimer notice is available at the end of this podcast and in the episode show notes. The views, information, or opinions expressed during this presentation are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of the IACP, Columbia University, or BJA.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is the Police Resilience Podcast. It's been created specifically for law enforcement across the country, across the world. This isn't about fluffy conversations. It's about understanding the science behind real resilience and how we as police need to make sure we're taking care of ourselves. That's not selfish, it's smart. This podcast is a partnership between the IACP and the Psychiatry Department at Columbia University Medical Center. We're leaders in policing and we're leaders in mental health research and services. Let's be clear about one thing. You already have resilience in you. Now let's work on enhancing it. I'm Dr. Jeff Thompson, I'm your host. I'm a research scientist at Columbia Medical Center and their Center for the Prevention and Treatment of Depression. And I recently retired from the NYPD after serving more than 20 years as a detective. I had multiple roles there, including patrol. I was a trainer, PIO, hostage negotiator, and also their first ever mental health and wellness coordinator. Today's episode, the topic is finding meaning and purpose in life. It's quite okay if you're not sure what that is. That's the whole idea of this episode. And don't worry, it won't be just me trying to help us dig deeper into this topic of meaning and purpose in life. We have two wonderful guests. Today we have the wellness coordinator, Dan Bright, as well as Lieutenant Elise Spina Taylor. And I want to welcome both of you. Thanks, Dan and Elise, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Look forward to this conversation.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, happy to cool. Be here. All right, so we're going to come back to our guests in a second, and we'll learn a bit more about them and why we think they're definitely perfect and spot on for this episode. Maybe I'll start off giving a little bit of, you know, the quote-unquote science behind meaning and purpose in life. And I'm going to read a couple of things from different researchers. And again, this podcast, much like everything else in life, you get what you put into it. And it's as interactive as you make it as a listener. We hope it challenges you. We hope it reaffirms some of the things you already know. But at the very least, or the very most, we hope it gets you to think a little bit more. And in this terms of meaning and purpose in life, so from some research, researchers explain meaning and purpose in life. It includes having a direction in one's life, having a positive perspective about one's approach in life, making short-term decisions to contribute toward long-term goals, and realizing that purpose goes beyond just achieving one's own goals, but it also includes making a positive contribution to the community. There was a lot there, even for me to read all that, and it took a bit of effort not to stumble through those words. But my thing is, how do I put it in my words, in my terms? Meaning and purpose starts with you, it doesn't end with you. And you think about that for all of us being in the noble profession of policing. It starts with us trying to better our lives, but then it has that upward spiral ripple effect. Here's another researcher that explains a purpose in life refers to the way individuals use their skills and talents to make a meaningful contribution to the broader world. Now, I think that might be enough, but I have like eight other passages I want to read. So maybe I'll read two or three more and then I'll see. What our guests think here. But now here's another one. And here's a book that I highly recommend in resilience in general. It's called Resilience, the Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges. And it's by Southwick and Charney. And they have a great section on meaning and purpose. And they refer to Emily Smith, who wrote the book, The Power of Meaning, from 2017. And quoting Southwick and Charney, they're referring to her. They said, Smith writes that people who believe that their life has meaning evaluate their lives as significant and worthwhile, as part of something bigger. They believe their lives make sense, and they feel their lives are driven by a sense of purpose. She also writes that a sense of belonging clocks in as the most important driver of meaning. And now, importantly, the last line as well, people who are socially isolated and lonely tend to feel that their lives are less meaningful. And I add that last sentence because resilience is messy in a good way. And these resilience practices, meaning and purpose is one of them. It's that they don't operate in isolation. And that last sentence shows how social connectedness, as important as it is as a standing alone, it could also contribute to our meaning and purpose in life. And what do we, just from my, I guess, a personal perspective for me, and how have I tried to find meaning and purpose in life? I truly felt while I was in the NYPD, it was a passion of mine. And I was one of those fortunate people on the planet to say, I did what I love. I love what I do. I continue now in retirement to work with policing across the country and across the world. But also our soul identity can't be related to policing. And when I talk about our soul identity, our meaning and purpose can't be solely related to policing. There's got to be more to us. And we're going to delve into that of, yeah, how important it is, or even now. I love having, and I know Elise as well, well, I won't speak for you, you can since you're here, being called doctor is pretty darn cool. I like that. But again, that's not my sole identity. And it's that idea of how do we find meaning and purpose? Also, don't ever forget, if you're sitting there listening right now about that, our meaning and purpose can change as our lives change. It's not a fixed thing either. And I know our guests have experiences. And that there's a lot more I want to say, but I'm sure everybody wants to hear somebody else's voice. So, Elise, I didn't flip the coin, but if I did, it was going to be you that I'm going to have you jump in first. And let me just tell everyone a little bit about you and then maybe jump in and explain more and maybe how meaning and purpose in life has evolved for you. So, Elise Spina Taylor, she's currently employed with the City of Miami Beach Police Department. She's worked there for, I think, 30 years now, or very close to 30 years. And she's currently a lieutenant assigned as the commander of the training unit in the department wellness program. She's got, I think, 20 years of investigatory background and experience in major crimes, other street crimes unit as well. She's real police. And she also, this one, I want to put it in there because I already messed up once, and this is live. We don't edit it when we record it. She's Lieutenant Doctor Elise Spina Taylor, or is it Dr. Lieutenant? You'll provide some clarity in a second.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. She obtained her doctorate degree in clinical psychology. And much like the work I try to do in my science background, combining it with policing, and the result is trying to save people's lives, especially our brothers and sisters in blue. Elise, tell us a bit more how awesome you are and some of the work you're doing.
Well, first of all, Jeff, thank you for having me. I don't know if I'm awesome, but thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that. Just a little bit of a background. As you stated, I really went into psychology part of my education and stuff while I was a detective, because I really was fascinated with forensics and things like that. But ended up getting the degree. I was already almost 6 or 7 years into the department by the time I started that. So I always identify myself first. I'm a police officer first. Then I became, you know, a clinical psychologist. And now that combination has been awesome for me to really be able to use it, because now I'm part of training. Instead of being a detective, now I'm in the training unit and part of the wellness program, also the lead for our peer support team and a hostage negotiation team. So, which actually has a lot of similarities, which is interesting, between hostage negotiation and peer team. So being able to do those things, the psychology degree now comes into play a lot, because officers, one, know that I've been through some of the experiences that they've been through and that they can trust me and know what I've done in the department. They know who I am. And then I can use the skills from a clinical side to actually help them, whether it's just immediate contact or it goes further. So meaning and purpose for me is really, it has changed. I think that's so true in the stages of what I've done in the department. And at this point, it's become, how do we help our officers? How do we reach them? And how do we get rid of the stigmas and things like that and be proactive, which is a big thing with me, that we don't just go through life, but we thrive through life. And that's a huge thing for me. We've been surviving for so long. We need to stop doing that. We need to actually thrive now in the here and now.
Yeah, Elise. And just to add to that, it reminds me, and I love how you use that word thrive, because some work that I've been doing with NASA and how they look after the well-being of astronauts, pre-mission, during mission, post-mission. And I hope for our listeners, especially our police chiefs and leaders, connecting the dots with what I'm about to say. It's what you already said. When I asked the NASA leadership, how do they help and look after the astronauts? Importantly, they said what you just said. They don't want them just, them, meaning the astronauts, just living or just surviving. They want to make sure they're surviving. And the way you said it, now I combine it with policing during their career. And let's not forget, importantly, after in retirement as well, which is the focus of another episode we're doing, finding meaning and purpose post police career. But that was a plug for an upcoming episode, by the way, if people haven't picked up my subtlety. But throwing it back to you is, I guess, well, here, actually, my question, I also have done work recently with New Zealand police executive leaders. And considering this is the IACP, police chiefs and leaders, I want to get your take on the following that one of the New Zealand police leaders said, I'm trying to find your why, right? And your meaning and purpose. They said the following here, and let me read it to you. They said this, I think the more you go up in leadership and the more senior, you've got to know your why. So why are you even in police? Why are you doing what you do? And what's your true north? So who are you? And then they said again, who are you? Where do you come from? What do you fight for? What do you believe in? And then what's your non-negotiables? What's your take on that?
Well, I think from a leadership standpoint, executive standpoint, I mean, all the things we do with peer team and any type of care that we give the officers or teaching these things has to stop from the top. If they don't buy in to any of it, then it doesn't matter what I try to do to help officers. It has to start from the top of what their meaning is. And I think the mistake we've made for all these years is that we separate work and personal life. We think that work is one thing, and then we think life at home and everything, I'm going to keep that separate and do it separate. We can't do that. You can't, or say eventually I'll live my life at home and the things I need to do. By then you've already destroyed your marriage.
Right.
And all the other things that go with it, right? So now it's about what's your why. If one of your meanings or purpose is work, good. But you also have to have a balance. And that's really the biggest thing I think that's changed is balance. And I think the leadership is starting to realize the more balanced our people are, and we also have a generation difference too. Millennials, they want a balance. They're not like us old school officers that are like, hey, I'm going to work my butt off, and hey, I get to work 9,000 hours of overtime. That's awesome. They're like, I don't care. I'd like to go home at the end of my shift. So you got to adjust to the generational gap. You got to adjust to the systems, and we need healthier people. And the healthier we are, the better we are as police officers out there in our job in the community. So it's a win-win for your city management, and it's a win-win for, you know, your department.
Yeah, Dan, I'm going to come to you in a second. Thank you for your patience. One thing I want to reflect on what you just shared, though, first, Elise, is it could be confusing what you said, especially if somebody's listening to this while they're driving, like, wait a minute, what? And here's my take. I agree on the complexity of work-life balance. The first part of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the first part is it's absurd and bonkers to say separate work and life. Don't bring work home and don't bring home to work. That is such an idiot failed leadership statement to say. Another thing, it's failed leadership to go out there and promote balance in life, finding meaning and purpose. But then as a leader, either say or demonstrate you're not doing it yourself. Because true leadership starts with being a leader to yourself. If you can't do that, then don't be a leader in policing. And don't you dare tell me you're doing it for the money. Fine, do it for the money, but it's got to be more than just that. The other thing, though, is truly trying to find that separation. And that's where meaning and purpose can get truly very, very dangerous, where if your meaning and purpose starts to overly balance work, because then it absolutely spills and more so destroys your personal life, multiple marriages, kids that want to talk to you. And then we know the awful statistics, especially with the work that you do, is it kills us from the inside out. And I'm not just talking about suicide. I'm talking about that slower death of letting our bodies and minds go to decay over our careers. Then all of a sudden think we're going to live a long retirement. Not happening. How did I do trying to reflect on what you shared there?
Awesome. Yeah. The only thing I would add on leadership for executives, it is the hardest for them, I think, because their purpose, a lot of their purpose reflects work, meaning the power of their position. So the idea of going home and retiring and no longer having that position is, I mean, almost a grief loss for them that they are not ready to, you got to start preparing for that. And you got to do a better job, right? Of how do you make that transition? Because it's okay if work is a little bit more in your life, you know, in your work-life balance, but there's a point where you gotta figure out how you're going to do that separation. And I think we have a major problem as the higher you get, you know, it's hard to do that separation when people don't care anymore that you're the chief. You were the former chief. Yeah, right. They just want, just give me your order, sir. I'm at McDonald's.
I was just going to say the same thing.
But we really don't care that you were the former chief of whatever location. So, you know, that's tough. You know, that's tough.
Right. I'm laughing because I was just thinking, I don't know why the example, like a food order. So yeah, if you don't know what you want to order, you need to step to the side.
Former chief, you know, we get it. Good for you.
All right. I'm coming back to you because a later question I'll have is, they forget about at retirement. What about during, while we're still in the workforce? But before we get to that, I want to introduce our other guest. And Dan's a phenomenal person. I've met him. I've known him for a while now. Truly inspiring. And he'll tell you a bit about himself. But just very briefly, I'm going to read a little bit about your bio, Dan. And then I'm going to read a quote from, I think, an author that we both truly appreciate, Viktor Frankl. So Dan is he's a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. He's been involved in law enforcement for 23 years. In 2016, he was shot in the line of duty. He died twice at the hospital. The injury resulted in permanent paralysis. His biggest struggle wasn't from the physical pain from the significant injuries, but the mental anguish from the years in the profession and suffering such a life-changing event. And this is what I'd say, as much as we truly try to have a good time in this podcast, we can't ever lose focus of the seriousness of the work that we're involved in. And Dan about to tell us a bit about meaning and purpose and how he's truly found it and adapted, and how I believe you're truly an inspiration to others. Before that, Viktor Frankl, here we go. So this is quoting from Viktor Frankl's book, which I recommend to everybody. Here it is. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And Dan, you truly have shown that that quote comes off the pages, and it's been proven beautifully in life by you. So please tell our audience a bit more and truly how you're an inspirational person.
Thanks, Jeff. I really do appreciate it. Right, 2016, shot in the line of duty, suffered a significant injury that changed the complete trajectory of my life. So much so that, you know, I was losing my identity as a police officer. I was losing my marriage. I had suicidal ideation, anxiety, depression, PTSD, like all that stuff really started to settle in. It wasn't until about a year later, my wife had really pushed me to go seek a mental health therapist. And you're typical responder of, right, I don't want to go. But she was very stubborn in that she continued to push me to try to go see a therapist. I reluctantly went, only to find out that was probably the best decision I've ever made in my life. The one thing that I found when going through therapy is the power of vulnerability. And it kind of speaks a little bit, Jeff, to you when you had mentioned at the beginning of this podcast of, like, first you got to focus on yourself, right? And the power of vulnerability was me focusing on myself and being able to share my experiences with those that are around me, which then in turn strengthened my support system. Once I started to learn the power of vulnerability and I started to share my experiences, I began to see people that I really cared for in this profession that were now going out to seek mental health therapy on their own, right? To improve themselves. And I found that that was really empowering for me. And that is when I started to begin to learn a lot about my new meaning of purpose. I knew that my life has now shifted from being this, you know, this SWAT cop, this detective, this sergeant, to now I'm going to focus on my new meaning of purpose, which is taking care of our brothers and sisters. So much so that I am almost done with my master's program to be a licensed therapist, specific to veterans and responders and their families, because I have what I like to call, I've lived it to give it, right? So in order for me to find my meaning and purpose, I had to live through my experiences, and now I'm able to give that back to our people. And again, with all that suffering, and I'm going to quote another Viktor Frankl quote is, suffering ends the moment you find a meaning and purpose, right? And so for me, my suffering ended when I found out, holy cow, there is a lot of power in taking care of the mental health of our first responders. And that has just fueled my energy, has completely changed my trajectory, all for the better. And now my post-traumatic growth, right, is I am now much higher. My baseline is much higher than it was previous to my injury.
What do you mean by that?
So we all go through life, right? And we have this steady baseline of who we are and what we believe in and what makes us do the things that we do, right? And usually when you experience a traumatic event, that takes you completely off of that baseline. It's what we call a fishhook, right? It takes you completely off that baseline and you start to drop. Your mental health starts to drop. Your physical health starts to drop. And if you don't do anything, right, that's going to continue to drop to where you develop the suicidal ideations, the substance abuse, or any other kind of maladaptive coping strategy. For me, the first part was going to seek therapy. And that's when my fishhook started to bend upward back towards the baseline. And as I learned through therapy, the power of vulnerability, and just learning more about myself and improving myself, my post-traumatic growth now smashed through my previous baseline. And now my baseline is much higher, if that makes sense. So now I have now become more a more knowledgeable, more experienced in really fulfilling my meaning and purpose, which provides me that energy to continue that post-traumatic growth in a more upward angle.
Yeah, and thank you for elaborating more on that. And a couple of things that makes me think of your unfortunate experiences. A previous episode, it was called Silver Linings. They're in the psychology world, you know, cognitive reappraisal, taking something that usually clearly is very awful and bad, and how do you pull something out of it? Is it, and I'm not trying to be foolish or anything, but from your awful experience, it's given you this new opportunity.
Absolutely. And that's the part that I reflect back on often to motivate me to that, like I'm going in the right direction. I'm doing the right thing. I'm where I'm supposed to be is because I've lived it to give it, right? I've been in those dumps and I know what that feels like. And for me to be able to help others and watch them grow from their struggles, it's very humbling. And it's empowering for me.
Yeah. So, and again, you said some really, really important things and you just say, and it's such a informal, nonchalant way, but they're really profound. I find them profound. You mentioned words like vulnerability and then being humble. And another thing I'm thinking is, imagine if somebody's listening to this. You said you're where you're supposed to be. I'm certain there's listeners like, well, they're not. And it's not necessarily you're lost. It's the perspective that you've been talking about. You're on a journey. We're all on our individual journeys, but none of us travel alone. And we see our brothers and sisters traveling at their own pace, at their own spot in life. So just because Dan's there, there's somebody out there struggling with a catastrophic life event, that's okay. But hopefully Dan's words are inspiring you as well, because Dan, as strong as you are, brother, if there's a key takeaway I get from your story, you didn't travel alone. And knowing a bit more about it, I would say maybe it's the level below forced. But when you went to therapy, was it your wife? It was pretty close to them making you go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that was hard for me to sit there and share my emotions. But I've learned like the only way to get through this is you got to face those. And in order to find your meaning and purpose, the first step is you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah. That's
the first step.
And again, connecting that vulnerability with another term like humility, and those are core traits. And let me be clear, this isn't pie in the sky, soft, fluffy BS either. No, it's not. Those are hardcore leadership, but also resilience traits. But importantly, do not forget, it's what I call strategic vulnerability and humility. You're not just going to, I don't know, the local deli and opening up to that guy and telling him, no, right. That's what professional therapists are for in that case.
Right.
So, Elise, I want to throw it back to you. I've got a follow-up question, but I don't know. Anything you want to add?
Just two things that resonate with me is, number one, when he said he went to therapy, what I hear is choice, right? So the perspective, as you stated, your perspective changes, but you chose to find meaning and purpose. And that's not easy. I could tell you to do that. I could tell you to find your meaning and purpose, but until you choose to do that. And I think that's what our goal is. That's the inspiration you bring to the other officers, is what is it we're trying to do is two things. One, we're trying to get you to choose the path of putting yourself in the best way to get yourself to thrive. And number two, you said you had to find yourself. And the question is often with officers, how do I know I'm all right? Because if you ask them, I'm good. Everything's good. Everything's fine. I got it all figured out. But you realize that maybe you're not all right. And how do you know if you're not all right? So that therapy and maybe with support groups, it doesn't have to be a therapist, helps you find when I'm not good and when I'm not where I'm in the lane of where I need to be. So I just think those are really two profound things that I think you were able to find inspiration for, because it certainly could be understandable for us to say, you know, to be upset and not accept why did this happen to me, you know, 100%, and stay in that lane, you know, but you chose to get out of it. So that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's really great. I think I'm right. We can't control the things that happen in this life, but we can control how we respond. And just like you said, my response was I chose to try to improve myself.
Yeah. And yet again, I know that's in Frankl's book. And if you haven't gotten it from us, we all three of us highly recommend reading that, no matter who you are, but especially for leadership, because in the way I look at it, my working definition of resilience, right? It's, of course, it's bouncing back from tough moments in life. Resilience, though, is also reaching out for help when you need it. And you've demonstrated that. And Lisa, I know with your background and your career as well, Dan, yours in a much more extreme situation. But here's the other thing. And we're going to segue a little bit, finding meaning and purpose. It's also not just bouncing back from the bad. It's making time for the good and soaking in those good moments. Before I want to talk about what I really describe as those upward spirals, one more thing, I guess, on the potential downward spirals. If you're there listening to this again and you feel like you're stuck, you've got, you know, that boss from hell or the people in your unit, they're just not seeing things the way you see policing or what have you. It's easy to lose that light of meaning and purpose. But here's my thing. And Dan and Elise, jump in on this, please. This is the way I describe meaning and purpose in life. Plenty of people can steal and take things from us. Nobody can ever take your meaning and purpose. You have to give that up willingly. And what they both just said, and Lee said it too, it is hard sometimes. It's very hard. But you still get to make that choice. And I don't know, Dan, do you want to add to that? And then Elise?
You know, that's another one of my favorite quotes, right, is you definitely have to put that step forward and decide to make that change for yourself. And that's where that support group and therapy and peer support, like, they can all help you make that first step. And just knowing, again, that you're not alone when you make that first step.
Nice. Lisa, anything on that? Or are we ready?
Yeah, I agree exactly with what he's saying. I think where it comes to the role of the department or leadership is we need to give better tools and resources to our people so that they have that. Because when people, workers' comp is a great example of how many people sit at home and nobody responds to them, talks to them, supports them, gives them anything, and they feel alone after they've dedicated themselves to this job. And we have to do a better job of that. So that's where I would come from the perspective of we as a department have things we can do proactively to give tools and things and resources.
Yeah, so I like that because it's dual, right? When I talk about resilience, there's absolutely a responsibility of the agency, but I also remind people there's also responsibility on you. Stop waiting for them to fix it. That's not happening. Every agency can get better. I also think for my travels, every agency is trying something or some things as well. But I remind officers too. And when I say officers of all ranks, what are you doing? And, you know, some, like, say for the NYPD, like, oh, what can I do? There's 50,000 people. I go, no, you're misinterpreting. What are you doing about it for yourself first and foremost? Because culture is a collection of individuals. And you, like Dan, you said before, you make that choice. And when I tie it kind of with the meaning and purpose to, I look at it's pulling out of it, even in those bad, terrible moments. I found my personal meaning and purpose. For example, like dealing with police suicide, sometimes in talking to the families. And how do I find meaning and purpose in that? And I'm not sure what your takes on it or any of the listeners, but I will stop to reflect. And eventually, at some point after that, like, thank God I was there. And somebody like, wait, what are you talking? Like, I'm trained to talk to people a certain way. I have something innately in me where I think I can handle it. And it is awful. There is awfulness in all of that. But I also say, thank God I was there to give them that experience of them making sure they knew that I truly, genuinely cared. And I don't know what they would get with somebody else. And I'm not saying nobody else would do it. There would be people that maybe could do it better, the same, what have you. It's not comparing. I'm just saying, this is what I signed up for. And there's my meaning and purpose. I'm contributing. I know I'm making a contribution even in these terrible moments. But so let's jump now, like I said, the upward spiral. So first, Elise, how do you find meaning and purpose? So this is twofold for each of the questions. How do you find meaning and purpose outside of work? But and then also in your work, how do you promote it to your workforce? So you could take it in either order you want, but how do you find meaning and purpose personally outside of work, but then also given your role, how you promote it? Because I hope some people at this point, while they're listening, hey, can one of these people give us some tips for our agency? So listen up, here comes Elise first. And then Dan,
yeah, I mean, I would say for myself, I mean, you know, being in always my work ethic and everything that I do, I do have to, there's a point in my own life where I've had to, you know, stop and say, okay, where are you going? You know, the best example I can give is, you know, I've been married for 23 years. My husband, he's the one I treat like crap more than anybody in the world. And all day I'm told how wonderful I am on helping people. And I think I'm a piece of crap. You know, I go home and I'm so exhausted. Instead of communicating with my husband that I've had a long day, and he knows what I do and he understands, when I changed and realized, you know, I need to be with who I say I am 24/7, not just at work, the great Elise Taylor, you know, lieutenant, whatever, doctor, whatever I am. Yeah. Stop being the crap wife, you know, because you can be a good wife too. And just having conversations, hey, when I get home, I need, you know, I need to wind down and I need to do A, B, C, and D. And what a tremendous difference that made, because my husband was very patient. It's not him, it's me. So one is a balance, just what I find meaning and purpose. I'm getting ready to end my career, so I've had to look at what other things I want to do. I have hobbies. I love playing golf. I play sports. I do all kinds of stuff. So that's the balance. And for me, as from the police side, from the what I do in my peer team and everything else, is how do we get rid of the stigma and get people getting help as soon as, you know, right away at the youngest that they start and before they retire? Those are like the two areas we need to get all in between. So that's probably the greatest thing that the resources we're trying to, and how we do that. We make sure we have resources available. We have a great app that's not related to the city, that's EAP. We have our peer team that does proactive stuff. We have things for our retirees. I do a retirement workshop before they retire, like things like that, that are resources. Again, as to your point, that doesn't mean the department does everything, but we do have a responsibility. But at the end of the day, I tell people, you know, the biggest thing that happens for me is people come to me and tell me they're not happy from a clinical psychology perspective. And I ask them, well, how is it working for you? Because doing nothing is a choice. And sometimes people forget that. They think everything is, the world is against them. And it's all their belief system is that the world is bad, they are bad, everybody's bad. And when you have that thought, your thoughts, feelings, and actions reflect that, that is how you're going to live. So you, there is a point where you, as you stated, Jeff, that you have to stop and say, okay, I know you're pissed off because they have treated you bad and they haven't done the things they should for you in the department and so forth. All those things could be true, but what are you going to do about it? Because you can't change it. And you're in your head mad at these people all the time and it's going nowhere. So these are things, you know, that's really from the perspective, it starts with you. You do have to make a choice to make changes. And then, hey, guess what? We got a lot of options for you. So that's, you know, I think the two ways that we try to do it.
Yeah. And it's, I like that the first step's got to be taken by that person. But then I say the rest of the steps, there's no reason to take it alone. And it's surrounding yourselves. And Dan, as I throw it to you, just one last, Elise, how you pointed out how important it is, those social connections outside of the department. And this is a wake up call to everybody. It's that idea of when you retire, picture yourself 5-10 years into retirement. Who are the people that you're with? Your family. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. It's not the work people. Maybe it's a couple of people. And the balance truly is so hard for the people still working. I get that. It's just sometimes the stop and reflect moments are truly important. Like you said, Elise, reminding that we're being, maybe if we're being awesome at work for the 15 hours we're there, let's make sure that we're also being kind to our loved ones. And the best way, and again, this isn't cheesy, it's being kind to yourself and giving yourself grace and not free passes. That's loser talk. But Dan, what do you have, brother?
Man, at least nailed that first one like perfectly right for myself, for meaning and purpose. I remember when I started going to school to get my master's degree, it was full-time school, full-time work. And I was taking on like a 10 clients a week, right? And I was working 70, 80 hours a week, getting burned out, chasing my meaning and purpose. And then I got to a point where, is this really my meaning and purpose? And I had to reflect on, you know what, first let's take care of myself, right? I needed to focus on what was important to me. And that was my family. That was my friends. That was having a strong support system. And when I started focusing more on that and then less on just trying to power through my meaning and purpose, my fuel, my desire, my motivation to continue to pursue my meaning and purpose grew even stronger, right? Because I had that good balance. I was able to not burn myself out trying to chase this meaning and purpose. It was going to come. It's going to come, right? But it, for me, it needs to come at a pace to where I can control my burnout. I can control my response. I can control my environment. And then as far as like for the agency, right, for trying to find a meaning and purpose within the agency, we teach a lot about gratitude and trying to focus on the positive because we work in such a negative environment. And meaning and purpose is associated to focusing on the positivity, right? And so when we try to help them learn how to switch that mindset and learn to focus on some of the positive things in life, they may, that dust may begin to settle and they may more than likely find a meaning and purpose out of that, right? But you have to get out of that negative mindset in order to find some of that positive in life and use that as your fuel to create meaning and purpose.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you mentioned the word gratitude because of the 87 notes that I have posted all over my wall. I don't know why I didn't say that one yet because it had 3 stars next to it. Come on, Jeff, get better. But yeah, gratitude. Don't laugh at me. Gratitude is critical. And I'm truly glad you brought that up. Here's a quick exercise if anybody wants to do it now or later with their workforce. The way that I do gratitude in my programs and, you know, the 3 good things, my version of that is one thing that made you happy today, one thing you did nice for somebody today, and one thing somebody did nice for you. In the interest of time, let's pull out that middle one, especially if you still do patrol functions or whatever you do as a police leader. You might say the negative version, oh, yeah, well, hell, I do plenty of good things for people every day. We're not robots. Stop, pause, reflect on one. Because there might be a lot of bad things going on in your police agency, maybe not the best police community relations, maybe. But when you pick that one thing that you did nice for somebody, it reminds you, you're doing what you can. And that helps pause and catch you. Yeah, there's still other work that needs to be done. Some of it out of your control. You're doing what you can. And there's that balance that we heard from both of our guests. Before I throw it back to you for your last comments or anything you want to share with anyone, again, a reminder of what Dan said there, focusing on the positive. And again, don't misinterpret what he said or I say or any of my other guests. The bad is built into our job. We're the police. There's going to be tough, hard moments. The important thing Dan is stressing is make time also for the good. Yet again, life balance and meaning and purpose. My 3 quick recap takeaways are you make your meaning and purpose in life. That's 1. 2, it's not fixed. It could change and modify. And I know Elise didn't go into it or Dan. They do some great work with companies and organizations outside their department where they help train police as well. And I would say it's not a sales pitch, but the way I say that is it reminds you, even if you're retiring or while you're in policing, there's other ways to serve. So it's not just in the role of your current title. And then the last one on my recap is social connections enhance finding meaning and purpose in life, both at work and outside of work. So Elise, I'll throw it to you. Maybe any last comments for anybody? And then Dan, I'll let you do it as well.
Sure. I kind of stole 2 of them from me, but that's okay. I'll say it from a different
perspective. Well, that's why I'm the host, Elise.
I know, man. You got me. You got me. But I will say one that the way I kind of look at it, because it's something we could all relate to as first responders, and that's being prepared, right? So when we tactically are prepared, we wear the vest, we do all these different things because we may get into something that's a shooting or something that's there, and we're ready for it as much as we can be. So I think to me, that's what resiliency is. It's not about reacting after the fact. It is, you have to deal with whatever that bad thing is, but it's that you're prepared enough that when that bad thing comes through, you're able to get yourself through whatever those things are, because we're prepared the best way we can in a balanced life, support systems, whatever it is for us. And the second is everybody has to have purpose, whether it's right now because you're working full time, because you're retiring, because you're a parent, because you're a brother or sister, you're whatever it is for you, you have to have purpose. And when you lose purpose, you're done. I mean, for the most part, you're going to go through a spiral that goes down. So whatever that is for you, and that can change. And finally, connection. As you stated, Jeff, you have to have connection. Without connection is the foundation of everything we have. And if you want to know how you are, see who your top 3 to 5 people are in your life. And if they are people that make you a negative, nasty, stuck in the world person, then your connection's not good. And you need to reassess it and verify what it is, because you need good connection. That makes you accountable and makes you who you need to be, helps you, what I said, to thrive as your authentic self. So those are the 3 things I would throw in there.
Excellent. Thank you. Dan?
Yeah, I love that. I think it's also important to highlight that what we've been talking about, it's not just something that you can just go through the steps and expect some kind of outcome, right? You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional with building those social connections. You have to be intentional with self-care, and you have to be intentional in trying to find your meaning and purpose. For very few of us ever get things just handed to us in life to where it's just like, it's a life-changing positive thing, right? Struggle is always going to be there, and you have to be very intentional with overcoming that and finding who you are or what your purpose is in life. Because without that intentionality, it's just spinning your wheels.
Yeah. And jumping on that as I wrap this up, I like that how you use that word intentional. And it reminds me, I had another post-it over here with a last statement I want to share. And with the whole topic of resilience, but in this specifically meaning and purpose, and how you mentioned intentional, there's a line that I try to share a lot is, remember as little kids, you know, your sibling or cousin, if they kicked you in the shins and you're like, ow, why'd you do that? And they say, oh, sorry, it was an accident. And we'd say back to them, no, you did that on purpose. Let's flip that upside down on its head. Let's take that saying, you did that on purpose, turn it inwards. The next time you do something to look after your well-being, when you make that pause to remind yourself of that meaning and purpose that you have in life, be intentional. Remind yourself and say, you did that on purpose. You made the time for yourself. It's not selfish. It's smart. And remember, no matter who you are as a listener, you matter. Treat your people well if you're a leader in policing. And remember, when I say treat your people well, don't forget what you are, your people as well. So the grace and the goodness and the kindness you extend to others, bring it to yourself. I am very happy. I'm very privileged to be doing this podcast. And today having 2 awesome, amazing guests with Dan and Elise. I thank you. I thank our listeners. And don't ever forget, onward together.
This project was supported in whole or in part by Cooperative Agreement Number 2017-VI-BX-K001, awarded by the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Justice Programs. And as always, the opinions contained herein are those of the speakers and do not represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice or the IACP. References to specific individuals, agencies, companies, products or services should not be considered an endorsement by the speakers. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues. Thanks for listening to today's episode. You can visit learn.theiacp.org/podcast to view show notes from today's episode and to find additional ways you can learn from leaders in the field.